Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend Evie Lorgan. Evie has a lot to share related to current events, her take on the Disclosure movie, and other key issues that are very topical and trending, as they say. So, without any further ado, Evie, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James, for having me on and being able to just kind of talk about what's present, what's going on, and things I've noticed. And I don't consider myself an expert in any, with movie criticism or anything like that with Disclosure Day, but there were some things that I noticed that I think other quote experiencers and researchers would probably pick up and then wonder about. Like in terms of what are they spin controlling and emphasizing or not putting in information about, and there was of course a lot of drama in the movie, but I liked it. It was good, and there were some things I noticed in it that I'm not sure if it came up in any of my written work with the love bite histories and the stories, but the main character is a female named Margaret who's a meteorologist newscaster out of Kansas City or something, and she has a kind of a temporary possession where she speaks in some guttural clicking sound, language, which it could be reptilian or Sumerian. I don't think they really made it clear what language it was. It was basically alien language, and I think they're assuming it's quote the Greys because that's the alien that they really promoted as the prominent species that took her as a child. So that's how it kind of started out. Her and another man named Daniel, who Daniel is a geeky IT hacker kind of person who was, I don't know, maybe previously imprisoned for some crime and then got immediately hired and sheep dipped into a secret spook agency with a boss named Noah, who's like this head, national security agency, alien spook kind of stuff. So I think basically he finds all these files about aliens and then he takes them and he's going to use them and disseminate them. And that's kind of creates this chase and smoke and mirror thing where he wants to reveal what he saw about aliens in the movie. And I'm not really a good narrator of the whole movie, but I guess it seemed to me that they want to present the, oh, let's feel sorry for the aliens who were captured and interrogated by these horrible human military, and the aliens are screaming and they're suffering terribly. And then that their presence has always been around for a while and that we're not appropriately disclosing it. And these secrets have been kept for 70 years and they're trying to keep a lid on all this stuff. And so Daniel wants to reveal this and then they're chasing him and they're trying to stop him. And then he has a helpful group who was a split off, who was a agent who worked for the same guy and then split off and wanted to work with the experiencers and take a more compassionate approach to just disclosing this according to what's really happening to these people having abductions and this whole presence that's been going on. So anyway, so what was interesting is to me, like the Daniel character, who's like this super geek, really intelligent, had a skill of being able to actually know what this alien voice language was saying. So he could interpret what they were saying just automatically. And he also had, a lot of mathematical, scientific, IT skills, like genius level. But he's like a classic MyLab abductee who was kind of somewhat a closet abductee in the movie until he's brought together with Margaret, who he was abducted kind of like together or saw her on the craft as a young child, maybe 8, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old. And then something going on with the aliens that connected them with this magic, this wand kind of telepathic, mind intrusive instrument that has certain powers. So anyway, in the movie, they show this in an abduction they had where they touched their fingers and they had a connection. So their connection, which in my work, this is like a previous bonding, right? But it's not a sexual bonding. It's just like a previous bonding on the craft that the aliens seem to want to orchestrate this to take place over time so that they actually help disclose them. But using abductees and who've been influenced and conditioned all these years to do the job. And so makes me question, well, yeah, they created the whole thing. They're
Just
doing it.
hold that thought because there's plenty of those, what I call alien spokeshumans, always singing the praises of the benevolent, warm, and fuzzy ETs. But please continue.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. They're quite, sympathetic towards alien greys as being more benevolent and not harmful, even though it was clear that the main character, Margaret, in her interactions with her then boyfriend, when she was still, a meteorologist or whatever, she spontaneously has one of these synchronistic events with this red cardinal that's like a memories thing from an early childhood theme of, I don't know, something that flashed back in her mind that was a synchronicity of something important that needed to happen, or she needed to make a decision to do something suddenly, like being activated. And they use this term, being activated. So it was the activation synchronicity, which this happens in Love Bite a lot, right? And then she starts just spontaneously speaking Russian to her then normie boyfriend, and he's like, what the hell is going on? And she's acting DID. Okay. So in her behaviors, she acts almost borderline-ish DID. And then she has these qualities, which they were basically shown very pronounced in the movie, where, she gets pulled over, she's speeding to her job or whatever, and gets pulled over by a cop. And then she suddenly just can do this, tune in psychically, get into their mind and tell them something about what happened in their life that was emotionally, whatever, distraught, that would kind of throw them off from, what they intend to do, like pulling her over and, stalling her, and then kind of taking over their mind in a way of influencing perception and their behavior, which is classic what aliens can do with some of these telepathic staring. And because I've heard this privately, but I don't think we really talked about this publicly so much. So this was one of the things that I noticed. Oh, so she had this ability not only to do the psychic tuning in, but there's another ability there. You could beam in your thoughts and your perceptions that you want them to perceive and hear, so they respond like they heard your thought as theirs, in like a command, and then they can do what you want. Because I've known people who told me that they could do this, like a whole, like a grifting kind of thing in a market, where they just told the person, hey, just give me this and give me more change and just give it to me for free. And then the person does what they say, and they just never really shared it. It was just kind of a side comment in a support group kind of thing or whatever, that it was an ability to, get into someone's mind and actually kind of like command their thoughts and their perceptions, which was very largely pronounced with not only the Margaret character that she could do spontaneously, but when she had the quote, the device that was the secret technology that Daniel got in some of his, getting all the evidence. And it was like this wand thing with symbols on it. And this thing I haven't heard about, James, where it's a wand device where I guess a normie human who was like one of these DID, want to keep everybody away from knowing the aliens, would go use this wand thing, hook up their brain waves or whatever, sit and relax in a chair and like calm their mind. And then they have a target person to get into their mind. And they literally get into their mind and like do a semi-possession. And so in the movie, they make it so that the person that they're, gonna take over or possess or control to get information, right? It's like interrogation, information gathering. And then the recipient, they're like, their eye color will change and they'll act like possessed, like the person's literally in their body, watching, looking around, gathering information. So it's an information gathering tool that supposedly was gotten from the aliens as an alien technology to get into people's minds. So we've heard this from abductees, where they had the ability, but they weren't using any technology. They were just using their natural abilities to just get into somebody's mind and, go and influence someone and, be a fly on a wall in a meeting and just hear what was going on in one of these secret meetings, But I thought that was interesting. And one of the interesting things that they mentioned was that this technology, that's this little bar wand thingy, when they tried to use it on Daniel, the MyLab abductee partner of Margaret, the pre-bonded partner, when the bad guy, right, the named Noah of all people, tried to get into his mind to find out where they're taking this technology so they could stop him, obviously. But they can't get into experiencers' minds with this technology. There's something about the experiences where they can't touch them. They can't get into their minds. And so he had to go around and get into his girlfriend's mind to access information and chase them down and the whole drama with the movie. So I thought, well, that's interesting, because I don't know if that's true, whether or not, like, for example, I've had the experience where remote influencers have hacked in to my mind, and tried to pretend they're someone else. And I know that they were faking it, like they were pretending they were someone that I knew, like in a non-lucid dream, and just asking me all these questions about alien stuff, about my experiences with ETs. And then an abduction happens like a month later through, symbolic transformation of information given to me in that experience that told me then there would be an abduction a month later. And sure enough, there was in another location. So, and it was way to get information, but how that was done, I think it was done by humans, not by aliens, in my experience. And I never really shared this, but I thought about it after I saw the movie, because we've talked about people who have the skill of, I think we called it a name, the inner chamber exercise. So people just innately have this, but a lot of them were abductees who already had the gifts, who could just do this naturally, more or less, and just get into people's minds and just remote view and all this other stuff. So I don't know. I'm just thinking, some of the qualities of quote experiencers was exonerated in the movie, as if, oh, well, it's good and okay to like just take over the mind of the cop who's like friggin' pulling you over. Or making people see, like you become invisible when they're chasing you, right? Which, I guess it could be good depending on the situation. But yeah, so they were exonerating these qualities, but ignoring the fact that there was some questions about Margaret when this weird thing happened, when she was taken over by this guttural reptilian sounding alien possession thing. And she had all these medical tests being done. And then, there were some men in suits who were in this other room peeking through the window, and she knew, psychically, uh-oh, they're the bad guys. I got to get out of here. So she escapes, right? Because they just know they're the bad guys. And what was it? Now I'm trying to remember what it was. But one of the questions that the doctors ask, as well as maybe someone else in the movie that knew her, well, like, did you ever really, do therapy or whatever to find out what happened in this, 10-year trauma at when you were 10 years old. So they were assuming, okay, she must have had a major abduction at 10 years old that wasn't dealt with, that was a trauma that she never dealt with. And it was obvious in her complex trauma DID types of behaviors. Okay. This would be obvious to me as a therapist. Oh, she's obviously DID. She's got these unresolved trauma thing going on and she hasn't dealt with it. So why aren't they, working on that, That's important in terms of recovery of what happened. Anyway, so the movie progresses where the good guy who used to work for Noah, and he turned on him, and he's helping Daniel and Margaret to come together in a mock house, old abduction site, so that the memory could surface with these little electrodes and some amplification of tuning into a amnesiac memory or event. And then she remembers, and then they have a flashback memory. They both have a memory flashback of what occurred. And of course, the aliens showed up as animals, and how they make you see with what you might want or what's for a kid, right? So, and then they remembered, and it was this whole kind of bonding thing that had these wand devices, several of them working over them together as if they were like planning this whole event. And it was quite interesting. I mean, none of this probe stuff or implant stuff or what they really do, right? And a lot of these abductions, but it was more on that theme that exonerates these hybrid characteristics is really what they're exonerating, in terms of the telepathy and the mind manipulation that you can do on other people, the psychic ability, or whatnot. And it just kind of made me think, this is spin controlled definitely to, make these ETs good, and that they want their presence known in the way that they want it known, and it's going to happen no matter what, the way they want to happen. So I brought this back to, yeah,
Hold
go ahead.
that thought. Exonerating from the jurisprudence standpoint of not being guilty of or not being responsible for. Did you mean like exonerate the hybrids and abductees of having this capability, like
Yes, like
excusing them?
exonerating them. Yes, exonerating the, well, really what it's showing is, are they alien human looking hybrids? They didn't say the term, but it's kind of imposed because, these people are watched anyway. We know that for a fact anyway, from years ago, which I, talked about in the case of Mia Adams and the FBI agent. They've known this for years, okay? But now there's supposedly genetic evidence of non-parental genetic changes in children that they've done tests that was from May 2025. And that's something that Judith Quoba on a show this week shared with me. And I talked about it and I read the article that basically looks as if there is proof that there is genetic intervention between a single generation parent child and the third chromosome of at least 16 kilobases identical in both chromosomes from each parent that has been substituted out with something else, which may or may not be alien. It could be something human from someone else, but it's non-parental inheritance because they did the parent and the children, DNA tests. So that tells me that, okay, I think they've known this all along, right? And they've been following these abduction people lines for generations. So they already know, quote, who we are before we know who we are. And then they'll send these, quote, FBI agents or, spook kind of people to like handle you and watch you and, medically make sure that, certain tests never get done or whatever, right? And they steal blood tests and shit. But yeah, I mean, so in the movie, they're kind of suggesting, the alien human hybrid qualities that actually aliens have more profoundly, like the telepathic staring that has been discussed in my book, by the way, by your contributions. So you know what? Maybe I'll just do a quick thing now by because this is The Love Bite 2, and it is out now, and there's much more information. It's thicker, and I have included James Bartley's work on the alien human hybrid interviews with a lot of information on that, as well as some new cases that show more nuanced and deeper insights on the entire phenomena, more so with the love bite, but also with the abductions and the hybrid situation and what people experience over time with those that have more of the nefarious qualities that might be included, or military, like with military who are infiltrating communities, for example. So we think these kinds of people have infiltrated to neutralize, target, or gather information on abductees or abductee support groups or people who actually they think are hybrids. Okay. And this happened in the Mia Adams case in my book. And this was from the mid-90s. So it was Bud Hopkins wouldn't take her case, by the way. And it was the man who was the love bite setup, who was an FBI agent sent to neutralize her because his higher ups knew that she was in this UFO research and didn't want it out because they find out too much. And there's a little bit too much evidence with these people who are, well, hybrids, because he actually admitted that his higher ups, not only in the FBI, but the Department of Navy, who are sent to investigate these more, extraterrestrial biological entity interference and hybridization programs and interference that they consider, well, I don't want to say a threat, but they consider long-term genetic sabotage to the human race and questionable. So this was mentioned back in the 90s from this FBI agent who discovered through his process of this whole love bite drama and working for the FBI Division 5. That not only he was a product of genetic intervention with his mother, the abductee mother, it was her ovum that was used, but different genetic material from a mother and a father, a mother that birthed him through an in vitro fertilization with the egg that was donated by his mitochondrial mother, who was an alien human hybrid. So he thinks, I think they thought he was also an alien human hybrid, but
They might
he
have wanted to
claimed
see
that
how they would
he thought he
interact.
was.
Yeah, they probably wanted to see how we wanted to interact with her. And just hold that
Nonetheless,
thought. But one thing about that book, one of the revelations that Mia had discovered from this FBI guy was the Navy elements thereof were particularly concerned with the reptilian hybridization agenda, right?
yes,
Very
absolutely.
specific about the reptilian hybridization agenda. This is long before anyone heard about William Tompkins, or certainly Barbie had been talking about this for 30, 40 years before that. But anyway, please continue.
Well, there's so much to that because I had to review this. Because I flashed when I, of course, saw the Disclosure Day movie, and I'm thinking all these cases and what they're presenting and how they're spinning it, and some things that I didn't know. But in the Jordan, who was the FBI agent, with the letter that he gave her, which was the coded, secret coded message of the whole thing, he had to reveal about the Department of the Navy being concerned about not only the alien grays and humans had a more similar genetic hybridization ability or something, and that the alien grays were doing this to create a hardy alien human hybrid elite species that would survive the ecological damages or the geological, what, pole shifty stuff, whatever, that would happen, that they thought relatively soon, and that if we humans didn't do the disclosure, that they thought, or they assumed, or were told, that the alien grays are just going to go and do it themselves by the turn of the century. Okay, this was 26 years ago. It didn't happen. It didn't happen in the way they thought. But there are the alien human looking hybrids by the grays, but also by the reptilians, whom the Department of the Navy thought was much more dangerous, much more worse for us. And this is what I believe that Barbara Bartholik mentioned when she, what she really meant with the breeding out of love program. And see, it didn't have to do with, oh, just how they're setting people up in these love bite things. This has to do with, over many generations, what are they removing out or substituting in to cause us to be just less innately emotionally intelligent and loving and nurturing, even as parents or in relationships or in general. Because what I've noticed, and this was something that was mentioned in these genetic article that Judith, it was a man from San Diego, a geneticist, a scientist, by the way. And he mentioned Barbara Lamb and maybe David Jacobs and some other major researchers, that what they have noticed, certainly with what they believe to be some hybrids or the downline of many abductees, right, over generations, that there's a higher incidence of autism or maybe autism spectrum kinds of things. And it's not known whether or not this is evidence of genetic modification. This could be vaccines. We don't know. But it's certainly something that I have noticed. But there's one thing that I do want to say, because in my Italian translation, there's someone else in Italy who's wrote a book called Dark Cupido, Claude Nagel, who's wrote a book. He used me, I, to write the preface for his book as an endorsement. Well, I thought he was a good guy, and he showed me a manuscript which is actually different from what he published. And so when I checked it with, Adobe to translate how he translated what I said about Barbie saying the breeding out of love program, they got it all wrong. He said the false reproduction of love, and that doesn't have anything to do with what Barbie meant. It means breeding out certain qualities over time to benefit, the agenda of the aliens. And so this person in Italy is basically using my work and my name to promote himself, and he's basically opposite of really what my work and my belief is about in terms of the ultimate solution to empower us as spiritual, eternal beings connected to God and to love, and healthy love. So I just have to say that, because he's using my name to promote his book in another country before I knew what kind of a person and what he's promoting, which is a gatekeeping operation of my real book in Italy. And so I have to say it, because that's exactly what's happening. It's a gatekeeping operation to spin control everything that I wrote.
Well,
And
that's what
it
they
would,
do. When Bo Greitz was sent surface level stuff verging on what we're talking about now, but Bo Greitz, who I met, Guy Kirkwood introduced me to him after a conference at the Little Alien. Bo Greitz was tasked by the Intelligence Support Activity to go into Laos and look for missing in action POWs left behind the war in Southeast Asia. Long story short, he found evidence of MIAs left behind, and also the fact that the CIA and affiliated mafia had been trafficking drugs in and out of the Golden Triangle for decades, right? So long story short, they set him up. You can see this reproduced in the movie Uncommon Valor, where Gene Hackman leads a team into Laos to go look for MIAs, and then they get busted, right? They get busted by the Thailand police at the behest of the CIA. So the exact same thing happened to Bo Greitz in real life. And what they did was they had a bevy of former colleagues of Bo Greitz in special forces who wrote a bunch of nasty books about him to kind of preempt whatever testimony information he was going to come out with later. All these books sprang up out of nowhere. Bogreitz was a cult leader, religious fanatic, racist, which is a joke because when I met him, he had a Laotian like housekeeper, working with him, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what they do. And another example was when Rodney Stitch, came out with a book, Whistleblowing, because he was a federal aviation inspector, and he was thrown into a federal pen because he kept reporting these problems with the airlines of how dangerous some of the maintenance practices or lack thereof were potentially leading to accidents. Well, they didn't want to hear that, so they threw him in prison, the federal pen. And while he was in there, and he was writing a book about not only what he knew about these federal aviation malpractices, but he was in comms with all these other whistleblowers of the federal pen who were telling him about CIA drug trafficking, et cetera. Point of relevance was he came out with a book, and then when he got out, and then what the establishment did was they came out with a book from another FAA whistleblower, a pilot, who, and the title of the book was very similar to Rodney Stitch's book.
Oh,
And yeah,
yeah.
and purported to be like a whistleblower about the FAA and et cetera, but really it was just a whimsical, comical kind of like a nonsense kind of book. So what you're describing is well established in the surface level world.
Gosh, it's so frustrating because, well, that's what I've been dealing with in the Italian version. But I do have my own book, The Dark Side of Cupid in Italian, that's self-published by me. Just that there's a major gatekeeping operation with the people out there. It's pretty difficult. I suppose it happens in every country where they really don't want the whole ball of wax to be discussed about what's really happening. But it seems to me that they really don't want, I mean, I made sure that I put in the part about connecting with our eternal spirit, which I believe is the original message of Christ, the original gospel message of Christ, without all the hijacks or the changes, which is really, it's ethics, it's morality, it's living by a certain code of ethics and a way of being that was exemplified by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I mean, I didn't state that specifically in the book, but I made it known that this is my best opinion in terms of the solution. Now, that which is the counterfeit spirit, because the counterfeit spirit in biblical and even the Nag Hammadi Gnostic terms, they also call the counterfeit spirit is also the adversary that has certain qualities. And of course, the qualities are manifest in spades, shall we say, in narcissists and hosted individuals. Okay, so narcissistic abuse is the operating program of the counterfeit spirit. And so whenever they're like, this is an example, whenever a narcissist or a host who's got full of that going on inside of them, you present them with the truth and they'll turn around, claim the truth, and then spin it and turn it and make the real ones the bad people and make them the hero, and they do it like a dime, and then they turn people against you, and then they copycat the original work, and their essence is like the opposite. Okay, so it's extremely frustrating when it happens to you, and like who I'm sure it's happened to many, many people, but it's frustrating because of, the work that I've done for 30 years and what I'm dealing with, and people just using AI summaries to just do AI summaries on people's books and then translate them and throw it out like a chapter in a book, and they don't do any writing. They don't even have any writing abilities at all. They just use an AI, and then AI. I found this out yesterday on the Adobe program that you have to buy, right? You can get a trial with Adobe PDF files. They have this AI assistant thing where you could read, and then they could make a summary of it, but you could also ask them to translate it into another language and do a summary of what was spoken, and then how you might want to retranslate it if you mean a specific thing in the other language. So it was wrong. So when I did this with the AI on the Adobe, it gave me incorrect information. So if I wanted to use that in a case, it would be incorrect. So we really need humans to be overseers to these kinds of things, because I think there's a lot of authors and translators using AI, and then we come to find out, whoa, that AI was literally wrong.
Yes, and not only that though, but not only are the kids starting from elementary school and clear in the so-called college being dumbed down to the point where kids entering college and graduating from college are functionally illiterate. Not only that, though, but the college professors are encouraging the use of AI as a writing tool. So, I mean, they're functionally illiterate, but they're using AI to write. So, that very human pen to paper, quill to paper, going back to ancient times of being able to convey one's thoughts through your own physical exertions, that's all gone out the window. It's another step towards the Borg collective, right? And it ties in with the breeding out the love, because you see this today. People, someone drowning or someone having a heart attack, they're just taking video of them, or some person getting ganged up on by five or six people, and they just film it because they have no empathy. It's all about the dopamine hits from how many likes they get when they upload this beating and humiliation ritual of some unfortunate soul, right? And that's what the human race has become. I mean, is this human race or large segments thereof even worth saving, right? From whatever kind of Armageddon type future we may be headed towards, that's questionable to say the least. But there's a lot to unpack with what you've described, because the implication or the implied notion that people with these hybrid abilities are somehow a threat, right? That, ooh, they've got all these abilities. Secret government agencies can't figure them out. They're connected to aliens. So there's a dichotomy at work. They blow off one segment of society, the religious fundies and surface level dweebs. Oh, they're all just demons. There are no aliens. So that works for the whole Alex Jones crowd, that
A lot
whole
of people,
segment.
in fact, that has come up to me personally where I shared with you privately about someone making the assumption that, well, all aliens are just elementals, don't you know?
Yeah,
Because
that
you read
person
Lee
is,
Hall's book, and
yeah,
so
that
they
person's
like,
a whack job. That person's a whack
yeah,
job
you know, names.
completely.
And it's like, well, of course, aliens could change their image and manipulate our perception. We've known that for a long time. So,
Well,
and then what?
that
You know?
person says there are no aliens, which means that they've never studied the Roswell case, never studied RAF Bentwaters, never studied the Bill Herman case, never studied any of these cases when
No.
these beings showed up in craft. Elementals don't need to show up in craft, right?
They don't have
So
to. They
right
just
off
come
the,
out of orbs or something, you know, and plasma.
but that person's just a whack job. But that's the problem. And see, there's this type of whack job who has no following worth speaking of. So they have to get as many views and clicks by tapping into that unloved space in a lot of modern day YouTube viewers, the people that have been affected by the Breeding Out the Love program, because the only shtick some of these whack jobs have is, oh, I'm going to do an expose exposing this person. I'm going to do an
And that's how they
expose.
get their,
That's
you're right.
how they get their
Because she
following.
was threatening to expose me and you, because of course she doesn't
Expose.
get any views anyway. So she'll use people who are a little bit more, have more YouTube
Expose me
followers
for
or
what?
history. Oh, to get hit, you, yeah, to get views of their own because they don't have nothing to say for themselves because they're stupid. Because, you know, they're really young and immature. And it was a classic narcissist
Oh my
borderline
God.
anyway.
When I
So, you
took a look
know.
at the gal in the video, I go, just right off the bat, her energy is all mucked up. Some kind of weird alien energy. The irony of it,
Come out of the
but
woodwork though, when the book comes out, and there's a lot of spiritual warfare, obviously, and there always has been, to be honest.
yeah.
There was a lot of delays, even in the beginning. I remember before publishing the first Love Bite, how before it came out, that I had, you know, there was some 300 plus pound being stomping across my hallway all night long. I can hear him. Boom. Boom, boom, some invisible being walking across the hallway and praying all night long because it was just pissed off or something, you know?
Some of these
That's
beings
weird.
tend to get like that, but further unpacking the things that you stated there in the first segment, there's, and I don't want to mention any names, but there is a well-known individual. I don't know if he's dead yet. If he was, if he's deceased, I wouldn't mind mentioning him. But he's well known in our field, especially in the older days. The younger crowd, younguns may not know who he is, but and if you know who I'm talking about, please don't blurt out his name. But Barbie had an encounter with him when he was giving a presentation, and I've heard this from more than one woman, right? where he was giving a presentation, Barbie was in the audience, and then he starts manipulating remotely energetically
No
her
way.
kundalini. She started getting
No, my
really,
God.
really sexually aroused. Barbie was
Oh,
like,
no.
elderly woman by this point, but he's done that to other people. And I
I picked
actually
that one up.
met this guy, right, at a conference in Philadelphia that Bob Urie had put together. A long story there. And also the concept of, the hybrids. In the Mia Adams book, one of the revelations that Jordan shared with her in the letter was that the part elements of the Department of the Navy were concerned about the reptilian hybridization. But you see, it
Absolutely.
just speaks to the fact that either they're speaking with a forked tongue, or there are elements within naval intelligence that are really against that.
That's what I
Because I
think.
yeah, because I say that because the elements of naval intelligence that were messing with me when they were trying to keep me quiet and harassing me, when I told you that time, when I was working at the headquarters at Comnav AirPac at NES North Island, this white Marine Corps sedan had Marine Corps in black stenciled on the side in big letters, parked in the Admiral's spot in front of the headquarters building, and the passenger seat was a classic. I've referred to him as a hybrid in the past, but he could just as easily have been like a Nordic, real life Nordic alien, right? But he was sitting there, really tall, square jawed, classic features, sandy brown hair, wearing a blue flight suit, beaming just hate and rage and threats into my mind. What one of the gals who had been regressed by David Jacobs, who I had interviewed, I wrote an article about her, and she talked about these hybrids, these human-looking hybrids. Some of them could have been full-on aliens that look human, but they had this habit of what she called pushing, and what she meant from that was they can push their thoughts into her head. And one of them was sadistic and violent and rapacious. It would, announce its presence in her house by suddenly screaming at her and then throwing her down and then raping her, right? So there's that element too, where, okay, there could be elements within naval intelligence that are against that, but there are certainly elements of naval intelligence that work exactly with those same beings, right? So, this being, this tall blonde that was staring at me and giving me the death stare, right next to him was a presumably a human Navy guy in woodland camouflage pattern a uniform. He was so tall, sitting in the driver's seat, I could only see up to his shoulder, and for effect, he was speaking into an old school big walkie-talkie. So it was all a sky psyop meant to terrify me when, at the time, it actually worked. But so I just wanted to point that out. But also, you mentioned the RVing, how some people have the means to do that. I'm not going to say who this individual is. He's really well known in the field, pushing all these feel good stories about, retrieving stargates and all this other stuff. But in actual fact, he is either a host or malignly influenced by mantis beings. And it's interesting that you talked about chirping and clicking sounds, because that's one of the sounds that some insectoid slash mantis beings are alleged to make, according to some abductees and eyewitnesses. So I was get this. I was a call me a troll, call me a spook, call me whatever, but I was lurking in his internet group back in the day, right? Because our friend at the time, Cassie, said, "Yeah, you got to go onto this group because they're talking about ETs and forming alliances with them and getting some kind of government program going to work with them." I go, "Well, it sounds weird, but I'll check it out, right?" So I went on there, and the username I used was of an ancient Roman general. I won't say which one because the guy might remember me, right? So I'm on there, and I'm thinking, first of all, I'm picking up his energy, right? Not even human. This guy is a host, or is like has some kind of attachment going on, right? And then, so I would chime in every once in a while. I wouldn't say I was a burn in the saddle or like a, a fly in the ointment, but he would bring up some things and then get all these, they didn't have the like button or stuff like that back then, but all these people, all these Muppets would chime in. Oh, that's such a brilliant observation, and I'm just feeling the love. And so I'd chime in. I wouldn't say with a snarky comment, but kind of a comment meant to, bring back a little semblance of normality and rationality to the whole discussion, right? And so he copped an attitude towards me and then began making fun of me. Oh, it's so and so, the Roman general again, has chimed in, right? Well, get this. One time I was sitting there in front of my old 486 computer. It took a half hour to boot up, I'm not exaggerating. And
Wow.
I'm like reading some of the email traffic coming out of these threads. And then I felt the presence of a mantis being, which I knew intuitively and instinctively was him, right? So here he
Wow.
is, presenting himself to be this person who wants to be a go-between ambassador, if you will, between the good ETs or the Galactic Federation or whatever, and the human race. But he's really a host for a mantis being, because I felt that mantis being right next to me. He was observing me. He knew who I was, right? Because by then I'd already had somewhat of a name for myself, putting out those treaties I used to write a lot, right? Really strident, militant type treaties about all this stuff. And so I felt that mantis presence, and I knew it was him. And so it just goes to show you the level of subterfuge, the level of deception, right?
Absolutely.
So it's not just like surface level spy, counter spy. It's like spy slash host for one or more non-human entities, right?
And there's a case in my book that the new Love Bite where it's a Mr. X who was this supposed military, but he was actually a hybrid. He was like a 6'5", I think he was a reptilian hybrid whose eyes would do the black thing and then switch. And then he infiltrated a spiritual community, but claimed he had several ET walk-ins inside of him, that he was part ET and would communicate with the government and they'd take him in to do blah, blah, blah. But he was like a classic hybrid host trying to, I think he already had many entities in him, but then one of his jobs was try to get a young teenager to be his like student protege to eventually do energy work so he can actually get hosted by these octopus tendril type of beings who were like these vampire-y beings. He was literally trying to get him to do that and claiming that he had another body on a ship and making up all these stories to basically to get people hosted by these malevolent beings. And then, playing that he's some e benevolent ET walk-in, and he actually damaged, he actually I think caused some early deaths actually as well. So
That's what
there's a
happens,
tie-up.
because a lot of times, coincidentally, they choose to have these workshops and retreats and in like literal vortex areas. So they're all sitting around, doing a group meditation, which is the wrong thing to do if you suspect, or if, perchance, one or more of those people in that group meditation are hosts or channeling energies and intelligences that you want nothing to do with. Because you get into a group meditation with them, you start to vibe on the same frequency, open oneself up, right? And it's like, now that's how people get taken up and possessed by one or more malevolent entities. And so that's one of the things. You remember that one really hosty woman from Las Vegas years ago? She always wanted to do like this laying on of hands and do energy work. She'd ply me with a few drinks and then get me all in a relaxed mode. Oh, you're just in the right state of being. You had a couple of strawberry daiquiris, just do body work on you, right? And then subsequent to that, I began having all kinds of nausea, all kinds of nocturnal attacks. You can imagine me, I'm just laying there. I'm thinking, okay, she's doing body work, working my meridians and stuff and chakras, but she was a host, right? So, it came out of a mind control program, host. And here she is, presents herself as a healer, a body worker, energy worker, right? So they're everywhere. You hear this all the time in our field. And often as not, these people present themselves as healers, truthers, Galactic Federation, kind of stalwarts, what have you. But it's a dangerous arena
Yeah.
that we're in. And that's what a lot of these youngins don't understand. They
No.
just don't understand the depth of how dark this can get. It is.
Yeah. And cause you to come to an early demise or become very ill, and people, friends die, and it's they constantly attack you once you share too much about, I think, the whole spectrum, really, because there is a spectrum. And
There
yeah.
is, and to further unpack some more of what you mentioned, I made some notes. All the elements are there. The ability to push one's thoughts, as depicted in that movie, what my friend who I interviewed for the hybrid article,
Oh, yeah.
she called pushing, and then you get this movie called The Push or something like that,
Oh, really?
about these mutants. Who are being chased after by this shadowy global organization called Division. They're trying to
Oh, really?
hunt down all these what they didn't say they were alien hybrids, but they described them
What's the
as
name of
some.
the movie?
I think it's
What's the
called The
name?
Push or something.
The
But
Pusher? I'm gonna look that one up.
the guy who was in it, I could get it mixed up the title with another movie, but the main character was played by the guy Chris Evans who played Captain America.
Oh,
In the
okay.
first few movies. But anyway, the term the push comes from is there's all these different mutants around the world, and this fanatical, like Vatican, deep black organization called Division, they're going around trying to find all these mutants with all
Wow.
these hybrid-y superpowers and neutralize them, right? And
Oh,
so
wow.
they have their own bevy of mutants with their own powers, who go all over the world trying to track these people down. And where a lot of the action took place was in China, like Shanghai,
Really?
Hong Kong, someplace like
China,
that.
that's
And
interesting.
that
Yeah.
brought up a lot of, weird memories for my own past, right?
Really?
That's a whole nother
Okay.
story, because the kind of weird interactions I've had in a my lab kind of sense, astral
Oh.
dreamscape sense with, people from that part of the world. But anyway, so in this
Yeah.
movie, the Chris Evans character is dealing with these mutants from a Division coming after him. And the reason it's called the push was their ability to push thoughts into people's heads, right? And compel them to do things they normally wouldn't do. Well, that's straight out of the hybrid interview story
Yes,
that
yes.
the gal did with me. She said that these hybrids that she was working with, because she was tasked by the aliens to help acclimate and socialize these human-looking aliens and
And they were
how to
alien
how.
grays, right? They were alien grays, more or
Some
less.
of the grays that were working through her, but they were making her work with these human-looking hybrids, right? And she was supposed to teach them how to acclimate and blend into human society. She would take them to stores and teach them how to purchase things and how to get the correct change back. And she'd teach
Wow.
them how to arrange their refrigerators. And then one time she opened the fridge and there was a bunch of pots and pans in there. No, that's not the way you do it, right? So she would have to teach them all this stuff, because a group of them were living in a house. But
Yeah, it
anyway,
makes you wonder,
she
like
called
group
it the
homes
push.
here,
She called it the push because the ones that were really like the rapist one that would like manifest in her house and start screaming at her and rape her, it had the ability to push its thoughts into her head the same way that malevolent, I used to call it a hybrid for a long time. A tall blonde guy in the Marine Corps car, but he could just as easily have been like a dark side Nordic being too. I've always felt that, but I never came out and said it. You know what I mean? So that whole push thing is very real, of how they can push their thoughts in and intimidate you and manipulate you and what have you, especially if you're in a vulnerable, suggestible state through, some kind of, prior mind control.
Well, those interviews are in the book. Several of your interviews are in my book, so that will be interesting, because there's a lot of hybrid interest right now, although it's kind of scary too, because people could make it like they're evil mutants, and at the same time, like you mentioned, type one abductees are just kind of normal people who have had these experiences, and they have qualities, but they're not evil at all. They're good people. They just have more abilities or unique, qualities. So,
Well, will there
yeah.
come a point in time, and we've already seen this on the covert Sub Rosa level, where people like us, abductees slash my labs, are spied upon, harassed, electronically, remotely messed with, astral dreamscape hacking, what have you. But that's been going on all along. But will part of the spin control be that they're going to con all these religious fundies and all these surface level Alex Jones types to think that anyone who thinks they're an alien abductee is really possessed by the devil, right? Because there are no aliens, there's only demons. So people who claim to have had alien slash demon encounters are of necessity suspect, right? Because you go back to the Middle Ages, one of the hallmarks of how do you know this person's a witch besides throwing them into a river, and if they float, they're a witch, and if they drown, they're innocent, right? Well, one of the ways that they would determine if someone was a witch or not, if they had these strange, unused marks and scars on their body,
Oh, really?
just like abductees have, right?
Oh, well,
Right.
that's true.
So,
Perhaps.
oh, look, this person has like a triangle on their forearm, like what I've had before, and I've had a triangle on my kneecap. Oh, look, he's got the mark of the devil. You can see, the way, these Christian fundies and Christian Zionists are being set up in this way. J.D. Vance, oh, there's no aliens, there's only demons. So, isn't it interesting that Alex Jones, J.D. Vance, et cetera, they're all on the same page? There's this element within the Pentagon, right? These shadowy, faceless people in the Pentagon, supposedly in the know, and they don't want anyone, let alone people, whistleblowers, revealing any of this stuff because it's all demonic. Now, to be sure, there are elements that are very dark and demonic, right? Reptilians, Dracos, and what have you. But there's definitely a technological component to this. It's not all just interdimensional. It's not just demonic. It's just not elementals, right? That's all nonsense. There's a very real alien aspect to the technology. And see, so now it's kind of bifurcated. You have, on the one hand, they're all demons, no aliens. There's this new faceless whistleblowers popped up. Well, if you're thinking of aliens, you're going down the wrong track. So we know where that guy is coming from and what he's pushing. Then on the other side, you have, oh, it's all just, let's emphasize the technology, the legacy programs, crash retrievals, and don't worry about the aliens. Let's just focus on the technology. So that covers all the geeks who are interested in technology, you see. And so who's left, who's cut out of the middle? Who's left out of the equation? Well, the people who are interfacing and interacting with aliens themselves, people like us, people like the countless people that we've worked with over the years, right? So that it's a way of creating these artificial fault lines, atomizing, fragmenting, fracturing what should be a unified movement, right? Just like what they did with the so-called super soldier secret space programs. Instead of a unified front, it's just everyone's identifying with a certain, secret space agency, right? Divide and conquer. Just the
It's just unrecovered trauma, if you ask me.
yeah.
I
Oh,
mean,
totally, totally. A lot of that is.
not identifying with the altars that are created, who are working as slaves for the dark side, basically. And I'm like, well, why are they doing that? And then just exonerating it like it's a big deal, and that's where they get their boost of self-importance and attention. And I mean, I hate to say that, but a lot
Oh,
of
it's the
people do have
truth. It's the
experiences.
truth.
But in reality, like when people do deep therapy, a lot of times, satanic ritual abuse, cult abuse elements are present within the MyLab history of MK
For
Ultra
some.
also.
For
And
some.
so but it's not always clear with MyLabs though, or even abductees, that they may not have that at all, in their systems. But it you eventually have to investigate that as a trauma recovery and the darker elements that has caused dissociation and accessing.
But there's
It's just
aspects of that.
access.
There's aspects of the systematic child abuse, child molestation that are installed at an early age of, say, a person who's from an abductee bloodline or may potentially be used as a MyLab further down the track. Classic example was Lorena, who I've had on the show, our old dear friend. Was there elements of occultism in her family? Yes, because her mother, if memory serves, was in the Santa Maria, and also because Lorena's bloodline came from Socorro, Mexico, northern Mexico, which is coincidentally where the
Don
alleged,
Juan.
yeah, the alleged mentor of Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan, a Nagual, a man of knowledge, came from. So Lorena's bloodline tracks back to the same place where this Don Juan character supposedly came from. But on top of that, in a classic intelligence infiltration, this naval officer had established a relationship with Lorena's mother in order to gain access to Lorena and Lorena's younger sister as young girls and systematically abuse them. Right. So that split them off. So in her case, they didn't have to, pull her into a cult and, take her to rituals. They just sent a pedo naval officer into her life through her mother. And if memory serves, if I'm wrong, mea culpa, but if memory serves, I think Lorena also said that her mother was going through a lot of emotional challenges, like alcohol abuse or something was going on that made her vulnerable at that time. And poof, just like
Absolutely.
magic, this naval officer comes up, pops up out of nowhere, and begins abusing, through her, gains access to her two young daughters. And that's classic in our field. You hear this over and over again, where female abductees in particular, some friend of the family or someone comes along, Uncle Otto, Uncle Schmato, not even a blood relative, just comes into the picture. And and that's how they get pulled into these trafficking rings, into these pedo rings. But it's all to soften them up and to install the DID trauma-based programming. So anyhow, we reached the end of the first segment of a
Already.
fascinating discussion with old dear friend, not I won't say old, but let's just say longtime dear friend, Evie Lorgan. Evie, can you tell the viewers and listeners how they can find your work and find your book?
Buy my work. I have a new Substack account now, Eve Lorgan Substack, and also evelorgan.com website, which I'm going to transfer over to Substack, Alien Love Bite Telegram channel. And I do have a Reddit, but it's not well traversed. I don't have enough time to do it. So I'm just saying Twitter and the main ones, Substack and Telegram and my website. Is really the main way to get in touch with me and the contact form on the website. So that's it. And then I have an Amazon author page also for both my new books, updated books, which is exciting that I finally got it done and have worked on it for 2 years. So I'm glad it is finally done and they're updated with much more material. So,
Thank you for doing that. And to our dear listeners and viewers, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member. And also, you would be doing us a great favor by sharing our content with your social media and your email friends list because of the heavy shadow banning that we're going through. For example, in my most recent commentary, Astral Dreamscape Manipulation, Draco Reptilian Style. People can't even leave comments on that, right? So yes, and if someone wants to contact me because hey, I went through exactly what you're talking about. How did you know all that? Well, they can't reach me through that means, can they? Right? So now, if I'm talking about airy fairy, new age, la-di-da, Galactic Federation stuff, I'd get a bazillion views, and right, I'd be speaking at all these conferences. But I'm not a Muppet, right? I'm sorry. Well, when I laugh in a semi-asthmatic state, I cough. But anyhow, so we've reached the end of our first segment with our guest, Evie Lorgan, and we'll see you on the next segment.